Beautiful singing this morning. Very beautiful. Except for what Wade did. But no, we're thankful for Brother Wade that he's come amongst us and comes in when he can. I know his job keeps him from being here as much as he would like. But we're thankful when you're here, brother. And you speaking of a long heritage, he comes from a long heritage of Johnson's. His father was a minister and a good loyal family at the church at Lubbock. And this church has a lot of people from other churches. Andrews is represented here. Sister Molly, you were Big Spring for a while, weren't you? Yeah. Brother Joe was in Crane. Deborah's always been here. But it's so good to be with you all, and I have been thinking and praying over the last few weeks, what in the world am I going to talk about at Midland? They've had a lot of good, able preachers come before them, and here little old me is going to show up, and so what's it going to be, you know? Come on in, brother. Hi. Greetings, how are you?
Florida,
that's right. So, I have a cousin, Elder James Baker, which I think you all are familiar with. He's the pastor of the Borger Primitive Baptist Church up in Borger, Texas. And a child of my first cousin, Beth Baker, who was a Mariner, who was a Barrington. He and I, we share text every Sunday morning. He sends out a text, and he sends a text and I receive it, so he's sharing with me, but it's always great to hear from him. But this morning, I want to share the text that he sent me, and I'm always getting inspiration from Brother James's text. But he was in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the 9th through the 14th verse. And you don't necessarily have to go there, but that's when Abraham had been instructed to take his son and go up to this mountain, a place the Lord had told him about, and sacrifice his son. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know, it takes a lot of faith to follow through with something like that. Could I do that? Could I raise my hand to slay my son if I had been told by the Lord, even told by the Lord to do it? Could I have done that? Would I have that much faith? And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. James made a comment after quoting that scripture. Here's what his comment was. God has provided for himself an object for worship. You know who it is? It's you. God has provided for himself an object for worship, and it's you. It's you. It's you. It's us. It's all of us. God has provided that for himself. It is our greatest responsibility to praise him in the manner he has shown us, and it starts with loving each other. Well, y'all have got that accomplished, that part of it. I know y'all love each other. Not worshiping objects, idols, angels, or any other thing besides him. And he finishes his comment, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer. God has provided for himself an object for worship. He did it. God did it. He created you. Not only did he create you and you were born and had natural life, he sent his son's spirit, the soul, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost spirit came into you and reborn you. You've been reborn by his power. God did that. You didn't do that. You didn't create yourself as a spiritual person. You didn't say a prayer or do this or that. God did it. I like that expression, God did it. Did you hear that? Maybe it's not really a joke, but there's this old elderly lady that was coming up time for her meal, and she didn't have anything. She didn't have anything to eat, so she prayed to the Lord. Said, Lord, I don't have any food, you know, what am I going to do? And she went to bed and got up the next morning, and there was food all over her porch. She says, oh, praise the Lord. And she brought it in, and she had something to eat. Well, then a week went by, and she'd run out of food again. And she opened up her window, and she prayed out to the Lord. Lord, I'm out of food again. I need more food. Please bring me some food. She goes to bed, gets up the next morning, and there's food on her porch. And it happened a third time. And when she went and saw the food, her neighbor, who was an atheist, opened up his window. Ha ha, I got you. God didn't send that food to you. I did. I put that food on your porch every time. It was me. It was not God. And she said, praise the Lord. The Lord has sent me food, and he let the devil do it. And God did it. God did it is a great expression. God did it. God has provided for himself an object for worship. That's you, each and every one of you personally. You are an object that God has provided for himself to worship him. What a responsibility we have to come together and worship his holy name. We're not to worship objects, idols, angels, or any other thing beside him. What's an idol? Do you have an idol? I've got an idol at home. It's sitting there in my living room. It's my guitar. And I worship that guitar. And I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't worship it above him. But if I let that guitar get in my way of worshiping the Lord and going to church, then I need to burn that guitar. I need to throw it out in the junk pile. That's what happens to us when we let other things come between us serving and praising and worshiping our God. This little church is a precious church. Do y'all know how precious this church is? The Lord has given you this church. All of these people are here. The Lord has done this. He's provided this. He's put you here in order to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The more you can do, the stronger you can be, the more you can be here, the better it is, not only for yourself, but for the others of this church, and as better it is for the praise of our Heavenly Father. I wanted to share that with you. That's not what I had on my mind. In fact, I was kind of in a tizzy about Thursday. I said, good gracious, I go to Midland Sunday and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I prayed a lot about it. And then since then, He's given me four or five things. And I don't know which one I need to go to. So we may bounce around just a little bit. I'm going to pull some tidbits out of Proverbs. The 19th chapter of Proverbs. The 17th verse. 19th chapter of Proverbs. The 17th verse. It reads, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Think about that. Do you have pity on the poor? Do you know people that are poor, that are needy? You've had this happen to you. You've helped somebody that needed something. You saw the need and you gave to him or to the family or whatever. And what happened a few days later? A blessing came to you. This church, over the last 10 years, every time we have sent money to another church that's had a catastrophe, or a burned building, or a storm run over it, things like that. We've had cases where we've sent $5,000 and $10,000 to other congregations throughout the Southeast, throughout the United States. And we've always said, should we send that much? Well, we've got it. Let's send it. And we go, of course, it's well received by the congregation. But here at home, we continue doing what we do. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody would send us a contribution. Said, I love the Midland Church and I've been thinking about y'all. And they'd send as much as we sent to the other churches. We would get back what we sent out. And that's happened more than once. Maybe two, maybe three times. Let me tell you, believe me, if you give to the poor, to the needy, if you're given the feeling that you need to give, give. It'll come back to you. And I've tried to be that way. Something happened to me this morning as I was getting ready to leave the hotel over here. Y'all notice I'm not walking real strong today, and I was doing that way at the hotel. I was coming out of my room to go get one of the carts to bring my luggage out front. And I got back to, I got about halfway down the hall, and the maid stuck her head out the door and says, can I help me help you? She couldn't speak English, but I could tell that she wanted to help me carry part of my bag out. I had my cane and I looked more pitiful than I actually was, you know, but I said, sure. And she helped me. I said, I'm going to get a cart and put my luggage on it. She didn't really understand, but I said, you know, one of those, oh yeah. So we went to the lobby. She got the cart. She put what she was carrying on it and said, let's go back to my room. She went back to my room with me, opened up the door, pushed the cart in there, pointed at stuff. Yes, yes. She put everything on there that I needed. And still, we had a language barrier, you know. We go out the door. She pushes it to the lobby. I said, good, I'll go get my car and bring it up here. No, no, me go with you. And she went out the door with me, went to my truck with me, and made sure that I got in my truck. And as she was picking up the stuff and putting my luggage and my clothes in the back of my pickup truck, she got to this, which I had it laying down there, you know. And she takes this and she goes and lays it on the seat. And I mean, my heart just blew up. Just blew up, you know. Here she was, probably somebody's grandmother, an older lady. I think she was Hispanic. But she was out there on a Sunday morning working herself to death, trying to support somebody. And I'm sure, I bet you it's her grandkids and her kids. But she's out there working hard. And we rolled back in. She helped me go back in. I had one more thing to get. And I thanked her so much. And I gave her every dollar I had in my pocket. I pulled it out. Every dollar. I didn't count it. I didn't care. I wanted to give her every dollar I had in my pocket. And I gave it to her. And she says, oh, no, 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 no. I said, yes, 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 yes. And I had to fight with her. Finally, she gave in and took that money that I wanted to give her. And I ain't worried about it. I got a debit card in my pocket. If I need to get something on the way home, I'll have some money. My debit card will take care of it. Sweetest lady that I've run into for a long, long time. And the lady at the desk, she saw my cane, and she liked the bear that was on my cane, you know. And I told her that my grandkids and family called me Papa Bear. So she had told that lady that I was Papa Bear. But she asked me when I checked in, why are you here? I said, well, I've come to a church meeting. She said, well, praise the Lord. And as I was leaving, she says, will you pray for me today? I said, I sure will. The Lord's people are everywhere. They're everywhere. Are they members of this church? No, they're not. They might be one day if the Lord puts it on their heart and shows them or gives them the knowledge of where we are. But they're out there. They're everywhere. And we need to be blessing the people around us. There are people around us who are kind, who are compassionate, who are loving, and that need our love and our support, our kindness and our compassion. They're all around the place. And you never know, the scripture says, let your light so shine so that those around you might see what you are. I'm not quoting that correct. I don't know where it is to read it. But we're supposed to let our light so shine. What kind of light are we supposed to shine? The love of our Heavenly Father, the love of our Savior. That's the light we're supposed to shine. The kindness, the loving nature that we have, the goodness that we have. How can we let that shine? Well, we got to be that way. And if we're not that way, we need to stop today and fix ourselves. I can't fix you. Your brethren can't fix you. You need to fix yourself. Is there a problem with anybody here? No. Y'all are the present company excluded. Your light shines as a beacon. And it's always something glorious for me to see. In the book of Philippians, like I said, I'm going to bounce around a little bit here. But I've had things that have been bearing on my heart. The second chapter of the book of Philippians. And this talks about some of the things that we've been talking about. I'm going to do some reading, so I'll just bear with me, read along with me. probably the whole chapter, the second chapter of the Philippians. If there be any consolation, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking to these Philippians. He's talking about the way he wants them to act and to love each other. Let nothing be done. Third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Think about that. Don't do things in strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You're supposed to look upon your brother and esteem him better than you do yourself. Set them above your needs and your heart and mind. Give to them anything that they do, that they need. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you imagine? If somebody said, Gary, we got this situation over here, and we need somebody to sacrifice themselves, somebody to be murdered, to be hung on a cross for the benefit of these people over here. Man, that'd be a hard thing to do. Oh, surely not. Surely that's not true. You don't need that. Why do you need that? Why did Christ do this? He did it for us, for each and every one of us. Because we are his people. And he has a people. How many are there? Anybody know how many there are? You don't know, because it's a number no man can count. Can you imagine a number no man can count? You take the fanciest calculator, or you can start counting people. You're not going to count the number of the Lord's children. It's impossible to do. That's who he died for. And one day, let's just turn over here. 1 Thessalonians, yeah. There's a lot of talk right now about the rapture and, you know, things that are going to happen and the beast and all of that kind of stuff. And people are trying to scare a lot of people into believing what they believe or subscribing to their belief. 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul is going to tell you the 13th verse about that rapture stuff and the, what do they call it, the changing, the disappearance, the great disappearance. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's telling them, don't worry about the people that have died and gone on and buried out in these graves. I don't want you to be ignorant about that. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, I hope I'm here when that happens. That would be cool, you know. The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to meet him? In the clouds, up in the sky. You mean we're not going to build a golden throne down here on this earth and set it all up for him to come down and sit on this big fancy throne? No. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Where are we going to be? We're going to be with the Lord. Wherever he is, we're going to ever be with him. But it's in the air. It's going to be in heaven's where it's going to be. A glorious, glorious day. A glorious time. I got too many notes. I need to quit looking. Do you ever do that, Brother Joe? You know, yeah, that's, I'm on. A little more in, back over from 1 Thessalonians to Colossians. The third chapter of Colossians. He's talking about if you then be risen with Christ, if you have been born again, if you have a new life, if you have a new life in Christ, he's telling you about some things you need to know. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you know that Christ is yours and you have been born again, you need to seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. These are the things you need to be desiring. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I need to forget about them guitars. I don't need to let my affection be towards them. Set my affections on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Who can pluck you out of his hand? No one can. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it talks about all the stuff that we're not supposed to do. And fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Don't be a disobedient child. What happens to you when you're disobedient to your parents? Did you get discipline? Yeah. The Lord will spank you too. He will. Is he going to knock you down to the depths of hell? No. He's going to just wake you up. These things in which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off all this. Get rid of this in your life. Now, I know none of you are this way, but just in case you are, if any of this applies to you, get rid of it. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Be merciful. Kindness, humbleness of mind. Be humble. Meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Y'all know how to do that, I'm telling you. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We have been given a wonderful, blessed gift beyond my thoughts and my measure. I don't understand why the Lord has loved us as he did. Amen. And then he gave us each other. He gave us the church where we can come together to sing praises to his name, where we can care for each other. We can pray for each other. When somebody's sick, we pray for each other. We come together in fellowship and sing. What blessing we have. Are we the largest church in this area? No, we're not. But we're a unique people. And this church, my heart is full of love and compassion for this Midland Primitive Baptist Church. I've been a Primitive Baptist most of my life. And I've been to a lot of Primitive Baptist churches across this land. The only one that comes close to Midland was Florida. Nah, I'm kidding. Maybe Lubbock. And I pray continually for this church body that the Lord will bless this church and bring you a pastor, someone who loves this church. That's a good requirement. Someone who's not haughty and boastful. Someone that knows the Lord. Someone that knows about the Primitive Baptist people. Knows about these people, the people that are here, and who would be willing to come and serve this church in that capacity. You know, it's not a pastoring churches among the Primitive Baptists. It's not a big financial thing. You know, there are people out here, there's pastors of these other churches that are in it a lot only for the money, for the financial gain. There's people that go to college, well, I'm going to be a minister, and I'm going to be an evangelist, and I'm going to go do this, this, and this. And well, you think you'll make any money? Oh yeah, they get paid real well. I negotiated my deal at this church, and you know, I told them they had to pay me such and such. I said, bless this guy's heart. He has no idea. You're not to do things looking for worldly gain. It's not that. I remember Deborah was there, Troy, myself, Mom and Dad, my sister Kathy. We'd been to the church down in South Texas. My dad had been called down there to preach at this particular church. And we went, and Dad preached, and we got into our vehicle and started driving back to Midland. And I heard Mother say, make a comment, and then it was strange. She said, Elvis, what are we going to do? I said, well, what in the world is she talking about? So I perked my ears up, and I said, what, Mother? Oh, son, we don't have any money, and we all need to get something to eat, and we don't have enough gas to get back to Midland. So that's why I asked Dad, your dad, Elvis, what are we going to do? And Dad said, the Lord will take care of this. I said, well, Daddy, what do you mean? He said, well, let's just pray about it, son. And we went down the road praying, asking the Lord to take care of it. And about that time, this car behind us started honking. Honk, 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 you know, and waving us over. We pulled over. I said, Daddy, you reckon they mean us harm? He said, no, no, let's just talk to them. Maybe they need some help. That was the first thing my father thought, is they needed us to help them. The guy came up to the window, and it was a deacon from the church we had just left. He said, Brother Barrington, it just hit me that the church may not have given you anything to help you out to get you home. And the Lord told me, or impressed upon me, to catch you and give you this money. And he gave my dad enough money to buy us all a hamburger in the next little town, to fill the vehicle up with gas, and have about $10 or $15 left over when we got home. And we went down the road rejoicing. That's the way the Lord is. He's going to provide your needs. I don't care what you need, you're going to be provided. Now, you may think you need a new Corvette car, Brother Wade. It's not that kind of needs. It's not your wants and your desires. It's what you need the Lord is going to provide. And we're to pray for each other that the Lord does do that for each and every one of us. And if y'all will forgive me, I'm not going to fill the whole hour up. We're going to sit down. Thankful for you. Brother Joe asked me before we started if I would come next month on the third Sunday. He needs to go somewhere on the third, so I'll be glad to do that. And he'll fill the fourth Sunday next month. That's December, right?
That's correct. On the 16th or 17th, I can't remember the exact date.
Okay.
Matthew Neely's getting married.
Okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad you're going to be able to. I'll be glad to be here, and
I appreciate that.
Not a problem. And I love you all beyond measure. And if I can get my stuff together here, I'll get out of here and out of this pulpit. And if there be anyone here who has the desire to be part of this little church, you know, it's not something that just anybody can do, become part of the Primitive Baptist Church or the Lord's Church. If the Lord has given you the understanding and the knowledge and the love for His people and for His church, you ought to step up and be part of it. You got a song, Brother Joe?
297. The rock that is higher than us.
Number 297. Let's all stand.
Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the goal, and sorrow sometimes how they sleep, like tempest down over the soul. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. Oh, sometimes thou longs
Kick your shoes off and relax if we want to. So,
and then you